A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events, where we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by the Dudley Boys to look ahead to Raw tonight. And, well, for the first time ever, the fallout from the Royal Rumble, Hamlet.
I don't give a damn about this bad presentation, but I will fist pump in the air with glee when Ronda Rousey makes her return to television. She has made some comments that have not gone down too well with myself and other members of the WWE Universe while she's been away. But nonetheless, what a performer and what an aura. And for a change, there is some fallout that I'm actually excited to see play out until they drain my enthusiasm of it by week three.
Yeah, there's lots to look forward to tonight. I was joking there, of course. We did a really interesting Royal Rumble fallout sort of dissection of what the Dudley Boys thought of the show in a Get the Table podcast, which is available right now. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. But yeah, this should be a big show for WWE tonight.
I said the same thing about the Rumble. There is a scooter race on it. How could that be big? I mean, I'll enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
Through, in the context of, I would rather get paid to talk about some shitty scooter race that might be mildly amusing for how dumb it is than like an 18-minute Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair match that ends in a DQ. I don't think it counts as a big show. Ronda Rousey coming back is big. It's big.
Brock Lesnar's going to announce his WrestleMania opponent as
is
well.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who's it going to be?
That is the big question, because, you know, WWE have posited, you know, will it be the man who, you know, was the reason he kind of lost the WWE Championship? Will it be the guy who took it away from him? And I just can't call it.
Well, I'm being a snarky arsehole, right? But realistically, the nature of the screwing means you might want to go after Lashley, because Lashley's got a W over him, but doesn't care about Lashley. Lashley's not on his level. We knew this from the booking at Royal Rumble. Why am I talking? Why? It's Roman Reigns! Why am I talking?
The belt's not on his level, it would seem. They're really, really leaned in. It's like, Roman, when you get out there,
I'll just go for the blue one. He goes,
you see that belt, like the one that's been around longer than you on this earth. Like, look at it. Like, you wouldn't wipe your arse with it. Like, you wouldn't clean the head of the table with it. Like, you are disgusted by this belt. So that when Bobby Lashley wins and celebrates it being one of the biggest achievements of his professional career, he can look like a dickhead too. Why would Brock want that anymore? Why would he not want the belt that he was originally fighting Roman Reigns for? You know, he doesn't want to have to go through the like procedural of getting the black belt. What if he gets the black strapped belt and then they switch brands?
Ooh.
What then?
It's so telling about WWE and tag team and women's wrestling. If they ever arrived at this weird cockamamie booking snafu, right?
Mm-hmm.
where do I have to do one of these title swaps again because of the draft? No chance. There's not a chance in hell they do a title exchange for those two men's titles.
No.
Not a goddamn chance in the world.
I mean, you get a magic psycho clown with a magic wand that changes its colour. And, wow, I got a blue belt. I'm not over anymore. But, like, yeah, you'd never, ever have a swap. No.
How do you think the crowd are going to react to Ronda Rousey tonight?
Right. Hopefully well. Right. Ronda Rousey was one of the great rookie year wrestlers in WWE history. And then she went away. So I think it's pretty cool that she was able to retain her aura. The booking preserved that because she's never lost a singles match. There are things that happened. Ronda Rousey did loads of that by herself in her original run. But there are things that happened that WWE helped happen as well. From debut onwards, there were lots of times where the booking looked after Ronda Rousey just as much as she surpassed all of our expectations. It was a nice case of an actual star being preserved as such rather than just abused for the privilege. The Royal Rumble return was great, but I couldn't decide if it was the deadening of the crowd at large or, I don't know, Ronda's aesthetic maybe, like something. And by the way, absolutely fine. Like a miracle that you go out there and you look as cool as you as Ronda Rousey, what, 4 months after giving birth? Like, absolutely incredible. Dress however the hell you want. Look however the hell you want. Fight the way you do and I'll completely buy it because you're Ronda Rousey. It wasn't the red or white hot response I would have expected a Ronda. Not from everybody. There was a couple of people in the crowd like punching the air in joy, but like there wasn't like 45,000 people losing their goddamn mind over it in the way that I was anticipating that it would happen. So that leads me to question the reaction rather than just assume it. I don't know if it is a matter of people have had more time, like myself included. I've had 24 hours and I'm less impressed about the real life person Ronda Rousey than I was 48 hours ago when I was just glad to have her back as a pro wrestler. So I don't know. Is a long-winded way of getting around to that. I don't actually know. They, by accident, found a top-level babyface who they buried and nonetheless has remained over in Bianca Belair. And I wonder if fans are just more aligned with Bianca achieving her dreams than they are someone like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, is there a danger tonight, Sige, that Raw is effectively, I mean, it has been for a while now, but really obviously tonight, Raw is effectively used to book the two SmackDown feuds heading into WrestleMania?
Yeah. I would like to feel like it's the same question that you gave, because that's what's going to happen, and then they're going to go to Fox, and they might do something on Raw for the major matches that are perceived as major internally, because Raw looks like it's going to be in the goddamn mud in about a week, if not two. I reckon Ronda Rousey is going to be very over as a babyface in front of this WWE crowd. And what I mean by this WWE crowd is that the complexion of it is rather different to the WWE crowd pre-AEW of, like, what, 2018? Ronda's first full year. I know she did some stuff in 2019 as well. I'm doing an article, which is coming soon, to whatculture.com/WWE, entitled 10 Wrestling Matches That Pissed Off the Fans. And talking about the Roman versus Brock at WrestleMania 34 as one of the entries on that. That crowd lobbed around a beach ball because they hated the characters. They hated how predictable everything was. Now they know how predictable it was. It is. They don't care. They like the characters. And yes, Roman has had this long overdue shift to an actual heel, cool character. But it's striking to me, revisiting the history of the Roman versus Brock feud, and how white hot and red hot, and how everyone who goes to WWE shows is mad into it, compared to how much they hated it about 4 years ago. In addition, John Cena got a unanimous white hot babyface reaction when he returned at Money in the Bank, and he was just cheered as if he was like Austin or Hogan level star on his subsequent TV appearances. This WWE crowd is weird in a way I can't articulate. Different to the ones that Ronda Rousey pissed off with her breaking kayfabe attempts. It's fine for Pillman to do it because he's a man, by the way. the element of contrarian WWE fans who hated what they were given to them, who've rejected various narrative developments, who've tried to fan cast their favorite wrestlers into the main event. They're watching AEW shows. The people who didn't like Ronda Rousey because, you know, they like Becky Lynch more. They don't exist. This is a fairly casual, not hugely invested, we'll go along to the show, it's got WWE on, and there's a star. That's what it is now. There's no split audience, there's no boo, yay, Cena sucks, let's go Cena. That crowd doesn't exist. There hasn't been a growth in the wrestling fandom, there's just simply been a split. I think Ronda Rousey will be absolutely just fine, and there'll be no one who hates her irrationally. It's fair enough if there are like 10,000 seat arena, if there's 5,000 who just like her, and there's 5,000 who hate Abuse on Sandy Hook because she's an idiot who happens to be great at wrestling. I don't think that exists anymore.
Mm. So Brock's obviously going to come
out. What I'm saying is that everyone in WWE crowds is a Sandy Hook truther. I'm joking. I'm just saying a lot of them have migrated to AEW because they got sick of this crap.
Brock Lesnar's going to announce he wants Roman Reigns, and that potentially sets up a showdown between the two of them on Friday Night SmackDown. How do they navigate the Ronda-Becky thing? Because presumably we're heading towards, two matches they've always wanted to have at WrestleMania. That is Lesnar versus Reigns and Flair versus Rousey.
I mean, that's working on the assumption they navigate it at all. Ronda Rousey could say, it's great to be back in WWE. A feckless heel from the women's division, Carmella, let's say, comes out and says, what are you doing here? You might be the baddest woman on the planet, but I'm the most beautiful woman in WWE. And then Ronda does the armbar and breaks her arm, and Zelina comes out and carries her away and all that, and Ronda gets a big cheer. And then over the commentary, they say that Ronda Rousey is going to be on SmackDown to discuss her WrestleMania plans, and then there they just say she fights Charlotte Flair. And the Becky Lynch thing simply isn't brought up. I would like it to be brought up. I would love, in fact, that this is, if this is Ronda's one and done on Raw, before she goes to try and help the Billion Dollar Show on Fridays, I would love it if they showed you a little bit of Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey in the singles match. We've still not had the singles match they've looked after for, let's be honest now, next year's WrestleMania, because it's not going to happen this year. Why would they give it away when they probably don't need to this year? They only ever think of 365 days in a year, 52 weeks of WWE television, they think about two matches a year, which is night one and night two's WrestleMania main events. That's it. All the product seems to be channeling at these two matches now and nothing else. So it wouldn't surprise me if they've already got one eye on Becky and Ronda for next year. They could dodge it. I would love Ronda Rousey to interrupt Becky Lynch. I would love Becky Lynch to be midway through her usual, this town sucks, I've beaten everybody. Because that was kind of what she was saying the weekend of the Royal Rumble. She was saying, it's when I beat Judy Rock, because I will, there's nobody. There's absolutely nobody left. So I would quite like her to carry on with that and just say, well, I did it. I did what I said I was going to do, as I always do. All your faves, your Liv Morgans, your Bianca Belairs, your Doudrops, they're all gone. They've all fallen to the man, just like all the ones did before I went away on maternity. And I didn't, you know, nobody could beat me then either. Then you get the Rousey music. That plays. You get a really cool, heated exchange between the two. Still ends in Ronda saying, I'm going to SmackDown, and I'll tell you my WrestleMania plans. Oh. Tune in there.
And check out the NXT Championship match. And see.
But that'd be nice.
It's an interesting question, this. And it's also one that's incredibly hard to answer. And the reason for that is WWE is so multifariously bad that it's impossible to truly pinpoint which bad thing they're going to do. They could realistically, right?
It's like that, I can't remember who it was he was talking about, but I remember Neil Warnock once talked about a winger of his saying, he's great, he's such a tricky winger. You can't tell where he's going to go next, because neither can he. That's basically WWE's booking.
That's a great quote. Yeah, it's hard because they are just bad. So they might do something bad. And the bad thing that they could do is something that they would think is good, because they don't do bad things on purpose, except off the top when they do. It's just the worst. Theoretically, they have a Ronda-Becky showdown, because Becky's on Raw, and Ronda is on Raw to promote what was penciled in as the SmackDown main event. If they have some kind of showdown, Becky is playing a heel. Nominally, everyone knows that she'll get a good reaction. You essentially are telling the audience, and consider how big they think the Ronda Rousey match is at WrestleMania. They will, I've been facetious about how bad they are. They'll want to preserve that. The implication, if Becky and Ronda have a showdown, and Becky goes, and Ronda says something like, oh, I'm going to SmackDown to fight Charlotte instead, the dreaded weakness. No one can look weak. They have to look strong. No one can look weak. Indirectly, Ronda Rousey looks like she's ducking Becky Lynch. And that's a terrible thing, a terrible look for Ronda Rousey to have. And I think Ronda Rousey's probably got the creative freedom and the power to just say, well, looks makes me look like a total like bitch, a coward. Mm. If I do that, they could do something. And like, I know this is 2011, but they've done it before, where they set up next year's WrestleMania with Becky and Ronda. So I don't want you next year. I don't want you this year. I've got previews with Charlotte this year. Some bollocks. I will take you next year. Unless that is dropped as, this is your WrestleMania 39 main event. I don't think they'll go anywhere near this because it looks like Ronda's ducking Becky and Becky's the heel. And they do have some principles when it applies to the tippy-top stars. Everyone else can absolutely eat crap. But, yeah, this is a long way of saying I don't think they go to it at all, which is stupid. Which is absolutely stupid because she was last pinned by Becky Lynch at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
She should realistically, as this big, prideful, former MMA, given all the history with her and Becky and how much fighting pride, she should be going after Becky. They just want her on Fox, basically. That's how they go about acknowledging this in storylines. I don't think they do it at all.
Where you could do it with this Becky Lynch character and keeping Becky as a heel, at least temporarily, would be to say, oh, you've changed a lot, Becky, since, you know, you were once the man and now you're big time Bex. Well, the only way you hit the big time was because of me. The only reason you were in a main event at WrestleMania was nothing to do with the man. It was to do with Ronda Rousey. And I'm going to prove that this year because I will main event WrestleMania against Charlotte Flair and rob big time Bex as a big time moment and make Becky Lynch question all of that. Problem is, WWE is really toxic. And what you have to do off the back of that is eventually spend 1 year turning Becky Lynch babyface again to prove that she can do it by herself. And she didn't need Ronda Rousey because what Ronda Rousey's saying is a bit true, you know? And I don't have the faith in them to pull that off. But the way the characters are currently aligned, you could do that. Like, it would chip away a little bit at the big-time Bex persona in time for her WrestleMania run against Bianca Belair, where her confidence is slightly dented or something like that.
Well, that's what I was going to get on
to. You put more thought into it than they have.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
That's what I was going to get onto now in terms of where does that leave the champions on Monday Night Raw? I suppose we should deal first with Bobby Lashley. Like you say, he could well be interrupted by Brock Lesnar to announce that he's going to face Roman. But he's got this big celebration tonight. We are, what, 61 days, I believe I read, from WrestleMania 38. Mm. You've obviously got the chamber in the interim, but the problem you have now, a bit like the problem you had, as we've talked about, if you said, if Ronda and Brock don't win the Rumbles, who does, is who on earth do you have Lashley face at WrestleMania? And even in the interim, what, does he go into the chamber with the world title? Is there a number one contenders match at the chamber?
The latter, I think. The one of the few benefits of them just loading SmackDown up with the challengers, with the big WrestleMania storylines now, is it does kind of give them a bit of a free hit for the Saudi pay-per-view. You could run two chamber matches and they could present it as huge WrestleMania, too many Royal Rumbles, isn't it? Like WrestleMania implications. You hang the sign up there in Saudi Arabia if it hasn't set fire to itself again in yet another building. You take it out there and you know, like people being trapped in cages. Seems fitting. Like, but you've got like all these challengers competing for the titles on the same night where the guarantee is of the winners will go to WrestleMania. they seemed super, super keen to have, like, Bobby Lashley slapping fives on the way to the ring felt like a stage direction. Like, I know they've, like, leaned into him being a babyface in the stuff with the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
Like, heels running in, attacking him, all that kind of thing. But he's not been high-fiving the fans, and that was a clear, like, to me at least, anyway, that seemed to mark him out as a babyface heading into WrestleMania. Whoever he was going to fight was going to be a heel. And then on the way out, he was celebrating as if he just, like, achieved the boyhood dream, like, at WrestleMania or something, even though all he had to do was slap an arm on a guy that had been attacked by Roman Reigns. They want him to be the good guy, so we should be looking around for a heel on Raw. I can't see one right now, but I guess that's the benefit of the chamber. And, like, again, like, this sounds like we're overthinking it. It's not. It's because WWE criminally underthink it. Book some qualifiers. You've got however many weeks it is until Elimination Chamber.
Got any roster left?
Well, yeah. But, like, singles qualifiers, three heels, three baby faces. Get there as you would expect to get there. And by that time, there's every chance that you've heated up a heel for... Like, honestly, all I can think of now, based on the Royal Rumble, for example, as a way to think, oh, who on Raw had enough of a showing that you could think, might they just do that? Omos. That's like, he's nowhere near ready. It's ridiculous in theory, but is it that ridiculous to see him win an Elimination Chamber and looking like this threat that Bobby Lashley can't overcome? And, you know, I'd made my debut last year, I won the tag belts, just 1 year later, I'm now fighting for the top title. So it's pretty easy to get there if you can't be arsed to build a heel, but they've got the chamber, so they've got time. They've got time to establish six people that could theoretically win this.
One of them could be Big E.
Now he's on SmackDown in a tag team.
Is he, though?
Yes, I know, you check the roster.
But this
page.
Is the thing. They are so multifariously bad that, oh, he's on SmackDown.
He's on Raw, he appeared on SmackDown for 2 weeks.
He was signed in the goddamn fictional universe to an exclusive Raw contract, having been picked in the all-important draft. He's on SmackDown now.
Well, I was told Survivor Series was the one night of the year that different brands.
He was booked on the Rumble like he was designed to carry Mickey James's possessions. He was that much of a bag of trash. Like, and this is discounting the loss, the clean loss, as we pointed out weeks ago, to Seth Rollins. Like, that was the moment where guy is not fighting for a title at WrestleMania. That's just not what this company does.
So then who? I've got no idea what this WWE title match looks like at WrestleMania. By all reports, they don't either.
Well, I was going to say Kevin Owens when he was talking then.
He just got tossed by Shane McMahon.
But I also remember that Kevin Owens is busy with the US title with Damian Priest. So you take the title off Priest.
Just forget about that. Yeah. They could forget about anything. It's impossible, man. It's impossible they could forget about anything. Like, who cares about what people are doing? Who cares about what brand they're on? They will drop storylines and they will not hold themselves to any kind of brand extension. Those aren't the questions you're meant to be asking. The questions you're meant to be asking is, who's a star who's not been completely and utterly annihilated by the booking of late?
Austin Theory?
Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory is a WrestleMania WWE title match. You might as well...
With Vince as the referee.
So might as well sell up to AEW. I'm telling you, like, that is... It can't possibly be a WrestleMania WWE title match, that. Nor can Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens just got dumped out the Rumble by Shane McMahon. Kevin Owens, and I've enjoyed it to a degree, has just been playing a dickhead idiot alongside Seth Rollins. They're playing comedy characters in a comedy world. So later they're like, bugger, we need, like, a WWE title match. It needs to be quite serious. Who's there, Kevin Owens? They're going to think, no... Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens is painfully backlash. I would enjoy it if it was booked well. Owens, no. Theory, no. Rollins versus Lashley, they've just done it on Raw without a finish. They might do it. Like, that's considering who they perceive to be as a star. Then again, he's just going to lose to Roman in a month.
And Rollins and Owens feels like something they're working towards anyway. It does feel like they've actually put the groundwork in on Rollins.
Edge isn't a draw. Can't be Edge.
Can't be Edge.
Edge is a heel, something they've not done yet.
Mm.
One of the last times I can remember them just having nout, absolutely nout, absolutely nobody, was, this is not going to be the end of my pitch, was Jack Swagger winning that Elimination Chamber out of nout and being given Zeb Coulter, and being given a racist gimmick, to be honest. Like, it was race bait and stuff. Fighting Del Rio, WrestleMania 29, maybe 2013, 29. That feels right. That feels like one of the last times where we were in January and there was absolutely nobody. There was just, they'd not worked, they'd not have done any work.
That's when 35 was the same. They were bringing back Kevin Owens as the slob every
to
go up against Daniel Bryan. Then they realised, oh, Kofi's actually getting a bit hot.
Kofi-mania was a later thing than people remember, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so they're in a position where they could, as they did with Jack Swagger that year, just push somebody through force of will and maybe get them over, but we're not. There's nobody obvious yet. So somebody that wasn't in the Rumble that I thought was going to be, who hasn't been damaged by Monday Night Raw yet, Bobby Lashley versus Corey Graves. He, I don't know if you ever watched any old NXT archives, but he kind of the originator of putting your hands in your pockets and looking like you're not trying. Stolen gimmick.
Well, you know, if we haven't got someone to specifically point to interrupt Bobby Lashley's celebration tonight, you know what that means? Game time. I've got the Raw roster page.
Oh, all right. I thought you were saying Triple H there. I was like,
Jesus Christ. Right.
For his sake, and I was.
Tell me when to stop.
Fiend.
Okay. And a number between 1 and 4.
Fiend.
4.
The Fiend. 4.
Tonight.
Can I play the game after him?
Yeah, you can play the game.
Yeah.
Tonight.
And then we get a triple threat.
Bobby Lashley's in the ring. I'm not going to do the theme because the theme would give it away if I said, oh, and this music plays, okay?
Primo!
The person comes out to the ring and says,
WrestleMania.
And he'll go, huh?
I'm going to fucking push for WrestleMania.
Because he's facing WrestleMania, yeah! It's Mr. McMahon. Mr. McMahon's facing Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania.
I love the original version of Bobby Lashley and Vince McMahon because we've got do-rag Vince. Can you imagine this Vince in the do-rag?
LTST.
if he wins the belt.
Right, you'll go, Siege.
This is fun, Jeremiah.
tell me.
Grandmaster Structure. Fun, stop.
Okay. In between 1 and 4?
2.
Well, he may have had losses before, but one man who doesn't get put down by losses and in fact thinks somehow he's a little bit of a winner. Gary the Goat Garbo! Cedric Alexander!
Her business explodes.
One thing Cedric Alexander is not ready to face you at WrestleMania, but I believe the fan deserves a replacement and has a jacket on. I think you know the guy. It's Barry the Goat Garbutt.
I am going on record as requesting the safe return of the Fiend. Like, we've come full circle. Alexa Bliss's stuff. Sorry for jumping ahead in the games. Let's end with the Fiend being the payoff. Fiend Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
I wish he'd come back at the Rumble. What's wrong with Fiend? Right?
Are they going to do anything with Alexa Bliss? They feel like they're toning it down now.
Who cares? I know, we've got a game. Is it the game?
Well, you can do the game now.
Yeah, I didn't really think of anything, did you?
No, I hate it.
So, last week he was determined that she'd killed some girls.
She killed some children.
Some children.
What are you fucking doing? A therapist guy that, like, sort of reads like he wants to shag her by the end of all this.
Yeah,
it's a weird energy in that room, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like the beginning, it's like the beginning of something in a
adult art.
Because yeah. He's like this, like he's got the like. The, I know you see, so he's got an 11-inch cat. Well, Alexa,
first one had like those balls knocking.
I see you like
on Newton's cradle.
Hey, Alexa, I see you like goo. Shoot some up, yeah.
We got Laura, haven't we? Wasn't there some? She was wearing like a different hair or dress. It was something last week, wasn't it? It was like everybody was like, Goddess is coming back.
And Dark Goddess.
And then people were angry, like, yeah, Dark Goddess, actually, Fiend Goddess. It's I want everything now. I want all four of my wanks in a row. I can't have one.
Six wanks. Eight, six wanks.
She'll be a. She might wear, have less makeup. What other cliches are they doing, like psychiatry scenes and dumb movies?
I've told you about it. I really want to do them to do the Rorschach shark test. Mm. Like, I just feel like, what's this look like? Lily. What's this look like? Lily. What's this look like? Lily.
And the last one's a Fiend.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, do the Rorschach shark test.
Are we getting the biggest return tonight on Raw? Shane O'Mac?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
nah.
No?
Nah.
Fox. Too big for Raw.
Well, Shane McMahon is like the Wish version that USA Network gets to the Amazon of like Brock and Ronda. Mm. Oh, well, it's all right. We've got Shane. In USA Network, are like, we're paying hundreds of millions of dollars for this purple, like this purple twat. can you
I need to rewatch that today. Remind me when we finish.
Oh, Brock, that's what I'm trying to lump him over the top rope.
It's
the funniest thing.
Can you remember Shane McMahon's promos against Strowman?
Oh my god!
Stupid.
It was like Vince last week. It was more comprehensible than what Shane was doing for 6 weeks. Actually,
it's gone.
I can. No, I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, it's. I would never use this word. Stupid word, horrible word. But
remind me, actually, I'm getting the noise. The Shane
stupid
McMahon
is, the stupid does, and you know that the stupid tree doesn't fall too far from the stupid branches. Braun, it's like, are you ill?
And that time he walked around the ring, got in the ring, got back out the ring, and walked to the back.
And what was that? Was honestly, it's a
great like.
Was that beginnings of the goo shop, by the way, that we introduced on the podcast?
A bucket of green goo.
It's a really underreported story.
Yeah.
What was going on with Shane McMahon in the first quarter of 2021?
All of it. Like the whole storyline. There was like maybe seven words said between them. And then Braun, I'm not stupid. just so he could throw him off a cage at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Some of that paid off. Like, but one of the weirdest ever.
There's certain things you could say. stupid is and stupid does. And, you know, the stupid branches on the... it was the weirdest. Was
and Raw rolls on. Move to the music.
Move on the music, Brennan.
Yeah, play the music.
I do want, like, Shane. That, they've got me there. I do want Shane and Vince to interact again at some point. Because it's been quite fun watching, like, Vince with his surrogate son. And now, like, the prospect of Shane and Austin Theory having to interact together for Vince's affections. I think that's got...
And he hates both of them.
Yeah, he just resents the pair of them. That's got legs.
He likes them all in Triple H.
Yeah, right now.
So let's just never remember that. Let me never forget that. Seriously,
Bruce
though,
has stood in the background. And they both have to turn around and see Bruce with Tanner instead of Redface. I love you, Dad!
So I was made a serious point there before, you know. Stupid is. They legitimately think of Shane McMahon as a premium attraction that you only preserve for the important things like WrestleMania. I think they would consider it a waste if he just popped up on Raw and wasn't advertised for it. I think that they've got the Ronda thing tonight. That'll give them that. They'll think that'll give them the rating.
And Brock. Yeah.
So ahead of next week when they are not there, well, you're Shane.
Yeah, that's a very good point. This week on Monday Night Raw, you know, the little 30-second. Here comes the money. Money's coming from Monday Night Raw. I'm not talking about Corbin, though, because he sucks.
What was Shane threatening to do before they arrived at the Braun thing? I'm sure there was something else. Was it some kind of Drew thing?
Oh, I can't remember. That was what, like, facilitated his... It was, like, weird. He came back, and he was just negging Drew, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think something like that.
He's rubbish, him. Something like that. It was all a bit. He was neither heel nor babyface as an authority figure because he'd had his going Raw underground.
There was a bit of like a knob to him.
Yeah. And it never went anywhere.
It's going to be true for Shane for the belt.
Because then, like, Goldberg was a bit of a knob to him as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I hear you're not respecting people when you come out here every week and say you respect everybody.
Yeah.
That sounds like disrespect to me.
That was what? Great when they had to cut it for time. So they got the bit now. That was the catalyst for it. So it was. Drew friends backstage with legend shaking hands, saying it's an honor to be
like
here.
Like all of them on the ramp.
Yeah. Didn't Drew have a title match or something?
Oh, yeah, I think he'd beaten.
And a title match was meant to finish by going, yeah, all these legends, they missed that match. Goldberg came out and just went, I mean, you've been talking some trash, haven't you, pal?
It's been a great time. Thank you, everybody in the Thunderdome. Them's fighting words, Drew.
Thanks to all the legends who came out like Hulk Hogan.
We know it's a big risk for you guys at the moment, so we really appreciate you coming.
Have we stopped testing? Because I'm pretty sure we did after we...
And somebody wiped my sword.
Did I have a sword then? I can't. I did have.
I don't think he did. I also don't think he was from Yorkshire, but still.
Give me sword back. Oh, look, Daff, we just make Hilton no sword.
What was the name of sword again?
Angela.
The worst.
Right, one final thing to talk to you about.
Christ.
What's next for Nikki ASH tonight, Sidge?
I am Sidgwick.
No, seriously, there's a scooter race tonight. Let's be serious now, because that is going to be great.
Otis breaks the scooter on account of being fat.
But they have to win, don't they? Because isn't this meant to be like a rule of three series?
Yeah. Is that right? Is it best of three?
I may have misremembered this.
So the heels have to win this one to level it up for the big payoff next week, whatever that's going to be.
If RK-Bro win the big one, then they can say, now we want a title match, and that would actually take us pretty close to Saudi show.
Right, so in order for RK-Bro to lose any of these challenges, it requires Riddle to be an absolute stupid prick, doesn't it? So, Otis is going to break the scooter, but Gable's like super fast. He's a hybrid athlete, so he gets around really quick on the track, and he sets a pretty good time for RK-Bro to beat. And because Orton, for his whole career, has moved glacial like a viper, he's pretty slow on a scooter. It takes him about 25 minutes. But in the meantime, in the back, the wrestlers are like, yeah, he's a scooter man, scooter guy. Like, yeah, you don't know how to ride a scooter until you've ridden a scooter with Randy Orton.
Randy Orton's grease these wheels. Wait a second, that's not grease. Cheers.
Anyway, so Riddle's got to like do the legwork here for the team. Only he's a stupid bastard, isn't he? And he misunderstood, didn't he? And he set up a running track for the DJ Scooter, who have come to Raw, and they're in like...
Good morning!
They're dressed like the 118 men in the 80s, like athletics gear, and they have a 100-meter dash. And it was like, Randy, I didn't realise what a scooter race was! And then Raw rolls on, but it's a Scooter to the music, play the fucking music! And then they've lost, like, on a technicality that takes us to the decider.
I genuinely think what they're going to do is, you're right, Otis breaks the scooter because look at him.
I said that.
Sid just said that.
Yeah.
So look at me.
I can't claim that pitch.
But then, yeah, Randy, whatever. Chad Gable's fast or whatever. And Riddle's getting around the course. And let's say they just do it around the ring like the amazing Bobby Lashley course. Remember that? Remember Bobby Lashley's assault course? He's going around the ring. Guess what? They're doing their Formula One thing. He's getting purples in every sector. He's flying round. That's good, by the way, to get purples in every sector. Like, if you want to, don't watch F1.
I do not.
He's on the home straight. He's going up the ramp, and Randy's like, yeah, get up the ramp. But wait a second, this fan's got popcorn, and Riddle's stoned, and he's like, and he stops, and that's why they lose the race.
You know what? You should, this is the worst thing I could possibly have ever said to you. You should write for WWE. I think you're exactly
the best backhanded compliment you've ever given me.
I think you are exactly what they're looking for.
Do Americans have the sweets, candies, called munchies? Because we've got them, haven't we?
Yeah.
Like, it's like sort of 10 chocolates in a sort of bar-shaped packet. Like, if Americans have got them, you just can't have a fan. Like, giving him the munchies, handing them over, and Riddle's like, well, they're my favourite, and I can't tell you why. Yeah.
And the time he's got to beat.
You can't, it's been
420.
You can't, it's been decriminalized. You can't say these things.
Right, well.
420 the time to beat. That is exactly it. We've actually got there, like, a scooter race with the two of them. 420. Your time to beat is 420. 420, Randy!
The time to beat is Randy. The time to beat Randy is Riddle smokes marijuana.
Yeah.
That's the time to beat.
Randy hears the phrase time to beat, and he's like, great, I want to shake hands with the writer.
Right, well, let us know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For Daily Wrestling Podcast, got the AW Rampage review and our discussion of the fallout from the Royal Rumble available as a podcast right now. And our Raw review will be out tomorrow. And if you want to suggest a 5-star review, something short, crap, and wrestling related,
short.
Yeah, preferably short.
Let's get along.
for us to review instead of something on Monday Night Raw tonight, then do so by subscribing to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes or Spotify and leaving us a 5-star review. Or you can email it to me, as I've said before, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.